Hi there, this is Julian Joiello here with The Positive Mind, bringing you ideas, concepts, and guests to help you lead a more positively minded life. And here hosting with me is Ben Starr.
Hey, Julian.
And we're here today with a new program for you. Talking about something that we think is very important. And actually, we wanted to start off first with...
I wanted to bring up something from the last program and just quickly apologize to our listeners, to Julian, and to a specific caller who called in, David, who I actually cut off because I felt like he had said some things that were a little mean-spirited that hurt me on a personal level. But I was certainly not trying to censor David. No one is above criticism, and I just felt that in the time and the timing of what we were doing, it wasn't necessarily the appropriate time for some of his comments. However, we welcome any comments that anyone has regarding the show, and we do want to honor everyone's experiences. So yes. I just wanted to mention that.
Yeah, and along with that, we value so much the callers in the last couple of weeks as we move on this transition to this sort of new positive mind. You've been so helpful and supportive in this move. And also wanted to thank among those listeners, Marisa Gonzalez, for sending your card. Thank you so much.
Yeah, and thank you to Diana in North Carolina, who sent us a package of coasters after we were discussing the use of coasters on last week's show. So thanks again, Diana. We have the coasters here in the studio. They're wonderful. Diana made them herself.
We're making sure that this studio table stays unscathed. Thank you. But we wanted to talk today about something that has really resonated with us, something that we talked about with Armand often, because it resonated with myself, Ben, and Armand, and many people in our lives, and we believe we've all dealt with in one way or another.
Yeah, we want to talk about escapism, and it's something that people do, and that I've certainly done in my life, to avoid difficult feelings. And what difficult feelings are we talking about? Well, first of all, there's boredom, you know. The feeling of just going through the motions in life, it can be terrifying.
Right. I mean, if you can imagine that time we've all been there on the couch, sitting there wishing that we were out doing something on a Friday night, or maybe, wishing that our job was more exciting, that we were doing something else, or that maybe we thought at this point in our lives we would be at a more exciting, passionate place.
Right.
And we're not.
That fear of getting trapped into a routine, whether it's in a job or a relationship, or just on your own personal life. But even more than boredom, the thing that I know that I've tried to escape the most in my experience has been pain, all forms of pain.
Yeah, and you know, for the last couple of weeks, I know for me and for Ben and for a lot of us, we've been dealing with pain, and I know I've escaped it in many various ways. My biggest way of escaping pain has been through distractions, and that's always been the way for me, you know, watching TV or going out and doing things, keeping my mind busy, thinking about things that don't involve the pain that I'm supposed to be feeling, that I should be feeling. And like Armand had said, let him cry. I, instead of crying, spend the time on my phone or spend the time even, you know, doing something positive, not necessarily watching TV, but, you know, being productive, writing music or helping other people, which I think I've spent a lot of time doing here at the center. And these things, in the end, have still, been part of my experience in sort of running away from my feeling of this pain and this grief that I've been, I should have tried to experience more, I believe.
Yeah, you know, there's as many ways to escape as there are people. And we're going to be taking your calls a little bit later. We want to hear from you about how you've escaped in your life and what you've tried to escape from. But even things that are healthy and even necessary in life, when done too much, can become forms of escape, like eating or sleeping. I mean, everyone has to eat and sleep, but to do those things to excess can become an escape. Even something like exercise or sexual activity, which are part of a healthy lifestyle on a certain degree, when they're done too much, they can also become an escape.
Right. We all have that friend. I mean, I know I do. I have a friend who exercises 4, 5, 6 hours a day, and it becomes such a lifestyle that they are literally running away sometimes for their feelings from the things that they perhaps should be feeling that day. I mean, they're running. I mean, it's so funny that they are running, you know, physically and figuratively. But we actually dug up something that Armand said from right after Robin Williams's death about escapism and running away. We wanted to bring that to you. So here we go.
So get this. You get to a point where you're so buzzed up and so hyper that cocaine, which would speed anybody else up, takes you to that point that the runner goes to. You go to that super end, and then suddenly you kick into calm. That's the hope of the person who's doing it. Now, very often this manifests in activities such as shopping and going and finding things and, you know, running around and doing different things, or hypersexuality, in an effort to find that place where you can finally feel safe. You're driven for it like an animal who's caged and you're running around chasing your tail. The trouble is, when we watch somebody doing that, we are generally attracted to it because it has the energy that we so need, that we of the depressed crowd, the people who are laid back, say, give me some of that, give me some of that, I want to get close to it. That's the person you invite to your party, because they're going to keep your party going.
Yeah, right. And what about the link between like hyperactive disorder, like ADHD, and this kind of manic thing we're talking about?
They could
about.
Easily be related, you know, easily be related, because you could find in many people who have this hypermania. Well, it could be mania, but not hypermania. It could be at the point where you have this tendency, because you can't sit still and you're just buzzing all the time. And when you get to that, it's hard for your mind to pay attention to anything that's in sequence. Now, many times, Mr. Williams quit, stopped drugs and alcohol, and he stopped it. He was looking at it, and he was saying he went to the Betty Ford Clinic. He went to a number of different things that didn't happen. You know, he went there, and he would stay with them a long time. He would swear that when his child was born, that he was going to now be different. But it's hard. It's very hard. It's very hard to be able to find a place inside yourself where you're safe when you're being electrocuted all the time, buzzed all the time, and that's what he had. So we saw something, my friends. For many years, we saw an illness manifested as something that was entertainment.
Right, and as a community, as a culture in America, we want that artistic talent. We look at that energy as like directly related to our talent almost as an artist, because you see those high energy artists that will paint 5 paintings in one night because they've got this energy. And I feel like, I mean, I know as an actor, when I see people that have that kind of energy on stage, I wish I had that kind of
energy.
You wish
you had it.
I have always felt like the kind of calmer actor type. You know, I play the realistic thing. I don't have that kind of intense energy that some of those people have.
And if you did, it would be, you'd be a totally different kind of person. I wonder. See, you're avoiding feeling bad. You don't want to feel it. You don't want to go into it. Going back to the example of the 4-minute mile, as you're running, you feel the pain and then you stop. Usually you stop, or doing exercise or whatever you're doing, you stop at the point of pain because you don't want to feel it. What the real people who could push through it do is say, I'm willing to feel the pain. I accept the pain. Now, it's not that you should live for pain and that makes you normal. But very often you wonder, is somebody running from pain? And what's that about? So we're talking mainly about Robin Williams and the experience with Robin Williams and what happened with him last night as he committed suicide, of all things. So let's think about suicide, especially through asphyxia, you know, the way he killed himself. It's kind of saying, I want to cut off my breath. I want to stop. I want to stop. I want to be able to stop this. If you imagine a motor car or an engine that's running so fast, so high, you can't stop it. So you pour alcohol on it and you pour drugs on it to try to slow it down. Let me see if I could land in one spot. But it keeps coming after you and coming after you. And the only resort you have to this manic energy is to become depressed. You go completely on the other side. Now, an abject depression, a real low depression, will take you down away from all of life. But now you're in this terrible, horrible pit. It's your only other option. And you feel the threat of the anxiety coming back over and over again. And you say, no, it's coming back to get me. It's coming back to get me. It's not like depression makes you feel happy. So at some point, you say to yourself, after a number of years, I must stop. I must stop. I don't care about anybody else. I don't care about my daughter. I don't care about my wife. I don't care about the public. I, Robin Williams, have chosen to stop. Well, how's that going to look to your public, Robin Williams? I don't care. I'll be dead. You know, I've had enough. So this is what it's like to be exhausted from happiness itself. So when I hear this song, because we're happy, and I hear people humming it along, like when I hear Elmo, you know, and I hear that, and I hear kids, I say, okay, if you're a kid, be happy, but remind your child, it's okay to cry. It's okay if you feel a little bad. And your children, you know, in their young days, they will do that. They will be okay with that. But as an adult, as you grow up, you keep getting talked out of your natural feelings. And as you get talked away from them over and over again, you learn to escape them, and you find many different ways of doing it. Being manic is one of the ways that people escape their pain.
And that's an excerpt from a show last summer. After the passing of Robin Williams, Armand often used Robin Williams as an example of the high energy type who is kind of finding ways to not feel feelings. And I remember the day after when we all came in, Julian, and Armand had expressed his sadness around the passing of Robin Williams, but also said that he was unsurprised because of the way that he had observed him over the course of time.
Yeah, and if any of you know the Enneagram, which we often use, that was the seven. And Robin Williams was the epitome of the seven type. The busy, fun-loving, fast, spontaneous, distracted, kind of scattered, energetic type.
Right, and the seven is always looking for novelty, always looking for new experiences, constantly needs to be on the move, experiencing, touching, feeling, tasting new things all the time.
Right.
And that was a good example of that.
Yeah, and it's interesting talking about escapism because a lot of it seems like it's negative. It's, you know, this sort of thing you're escaping from, you know, really feeling the reality of the situation, this reality that is the pain or whatever it is that you need to be experiencing as a human being. And as Armand was saying, you know, you either become, you know, so elevated in feeling that it's too intense, or you're depressed because of it. One moment.
Right, and it doesn't have to be negative or positive. It could just be a strategy, if you will. It could just be the thing that people do to get by. So, in essence, it's a tactic that we use, right? It's a mental diversion, and we're trying to disassociate from boring or painful aspects of everyday life. And we will be taking your calls shortly. We want to hear about how you've escaped, what you've tried to escape from in your life. So we will be taking your calls. You can call us in here at 212-757-5555. And Julian, you had an interesting anecdote about a guy who was escaping.
Yeah, I mean, well, yeah, again, with that escapism idea, there perhaps is maybe also a positive way to do it. There was a man named Jean-Dominique Bobby, and he wrote a book called The Diving Bell and the Butterfly, and there was also a film. And it was a man who was, he was an editor, editor-in-chief of a French magazine called Elle. And he was in a huge accident, and it left him totally paralyzed and only had access to his mind and the movement of his right eye. So he could blink and look around, but he was trapped in bed, couldn't move anything, and all of a sudden his life was changed forever. He couldn't do anything, really, but just look around and sort of think. And he, through the help of the nurses in the hospital, would blink yes or no to letters and wrote a book, actually. And he wrote about how he lived in fantasy in his mind and used this fantasy to cope with his dealing with, you know, the trauma, the incredible, incredible trauma of being in this accident and being left and bedridden forever. It's just, it's incredible hearing this escapism where, in fact, it is positive because it allowed him to go to a place that was happy, that was, you know, when the reality became so bleak, it allowed him to really live another life, almost.
Yeah, and certainly in the arts, you know, writers, artists, musicians, many of them have used the realm of fantasy to create amazing work. You think of the abstract painters or some of the more improvisational jazz musicians and even writers like, think about J.R.R. Tolkien and The Lord of the Rings. I mean, that was a whole fantasy world inside of his head that he was able to put on paper and was enjoyed by millions of people. So it's like you say, Julian, escapism doesn't always necessarily have to be self-destructive in that way. So, you know, it can be a positive thing. I mean, for instance, I knew a guy who was struggling with this real dysfunctional relationship, and he was a coworker of mine. He lived with his girlfriend, and the relationship had deteriorated to the point where he was doing everything he could to spend as little time as possible at home. They were really not going well together. There were problems with dishonesty and trust and arguing, and so his strategy to escape the pain of that relationship was to be at the office every day early and stay late. And even when he left the office, he would go to the gym and work out. And ultimately, I mean, as you might imagine, the relationship didn't last, but the way he escaped that pain was by becoming better at his job and even getting in great shape physically. So they're all just strategies, and they don't necessarily have to be positive or negative. It's just what we do to get by. And we do want to hear your strategies and what you've tried to run from in your life. So you can reach us here at 212-757-5555. We do want to thank all the listeners who have been sending us emails here at The Positive Mind. Our email address now is positivemind@wbai.org.
Yes, that's just positivemind@wbai.org. There's no "the" in the beginning of that email. And make sure to continue sending us emails. They're, me and Ben are really enjoying and really appreciate hearing from everybody during this transition.
Yeah, and there has been a huge volume of correspondence, and we're doing our best to respond to everyone individually. So if you have sent us an email and haven't heard back, hang in there. We're going to do our best to respond and contact each one of you individually. But it has been a large outpouring of feedback, so we're doing what we can to stay on top of that and contact everyone again personally. We have a caller on the line, Alan. Hi, Alan.
Hi, Ben. My statements today are two prongs. Number one, I could understand where you're coming from with this call from this fella, David, but David really, really, really teed me off when he made that phone call. I think it was the most inappropriate time to come off the way he did, and he was on the show a few weeks prior to that call, and I just feel I could understand you wanting to apologize to him, but I personally feel like it could have waited because he was really not right in making the statements he made.
Well, that's what I meant by the timing. I just felt like it wasn't the right time to hear those comments. Not that we don't want to hear them, but out of respect for everyone who was listening and some people still just finding out, it felt a little premature.
Okay, well, the topic, it's amazing that you guys are talking about what you're talking about with autistic. I drove a bus for close to 28 years, and I always was interested in music. I didn't follow my path when I was younger, but I felt when I would retire, I'd be able to fool around with the keyboards and do some painting and writing. And unfortunately, I was diagnosed with Parkinson's. I think you recall my phone calls to Armand.
I do. I remember that.
And I have been staying in bed 12 hours a day. My relationship is a million degrees from perfect. I'm 63 years old, and I don't know what to do. I'd like to leave, but I'm scared of my Parkinson's. I was diagnosed with hepatitis C a few years ago. The doctor just had me on some medicine 6 months ago. It cleared up, but now it came back again. He's trying to get me on some new meds, and I'm just, you know, I always was a creative person. I always did writing, and I always fooled around with the keyboards and painting. And now my right hand has a tremor in it, and it's like, I feel like, why my life always goes down such a difficult path.
Alan, I'm really sorry to hear that you're dealing with that. All I can say really is, you know, there is a lot of creativity I can hear, and a lot of expression that you want to put out there into the world. Have you found any ways, maybe through technology, to be able to put out some creativity, whether it's writing or music?
Yeah, I know there are ways, but I don't want to take up too much of your time today, but I know there's going to be a memorial that I read about on the computer around July 16th for Armand.
Yeah, regarding the memorial, at the moment, the family decided to move to a private memorial, but I know that there is a public memorial, hopefully in the works, being put together by some friends of his. So once we have more information about that, we will absolutely announce that to the radio and to the listeners, because we want everyone to be a part of the public memorial, and we really would you know, love to have you there if you can make it too.
I there's something about Ben's voice that I have a connection. Not that I'm putting you away, Julian, but
no.
Because Ben had mentioned that about 2 weeks ago about the emails, and he mentioned my name, and I would like to get up to the office because I desperately need some.
Yeah, Alan, there are, you know, there are people here that you can come in and talk to. And you can call the office number, and there's definitely going to be some people that will be ready to sit down with you and help you go through it. And I would just want to thank you so much for the call and for sharing that from your heart.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Alan.
Thank you, Alan, for calling.
212-757-5555 is the number to call. Alan is a regular caller and longtime listener, and we really appreciate his continued participation on the show. We're talking about escapism and what you've done to escape your pain or your boredom, and what you were running from, and what the source of that pain or boredom was. We want to hear from our listeners and get a conversation going about everyone's strategies and what they've had to deal with. We have another caller on the line, Robert. Hi, Robert. How are you?
I'm sorry?
Robert, how have you tried to escape or deal with...
Here's the thing. In keeping with the follow-through that your comments were on Mr. DeMille?
Yes.
Robin Williams. Well, first of all, tell me what it was that made Robin Williams commit suicide.
What it was that made Robin Williams commit suicide?
Yeah.
I mean, he was struggling with chronic depression and dissatisfaction in his life. That was a lifelong struggle that he was public about.
Anything in particular?
There was drug addiction. There were difficult family relationships. I mean, these are things that he discussed in interviews over the course of his career.
So, I mean, this isn't... So I'm just trying to get at the fact of it. So he struggled with that for years. What was the story that broke the camel's back?
You know, I don't know. I don't know whether there was one particular event that led him there. I know that it was a very long-term struggle that he had with addiction and mental health, and at some point, that's where he wound up. Do you have an idea, maybe yourself, of what it was that led him?
I don't. I was kind of perplexed at that, because I know he was a very, very humane person. You know, extremely empathetic and decent.
Yeah, I think he was, too.
That's actually a life-saving state of being, because that implies, like, there's hope and an encouragement to push on in spite of the obstacles. People get depressed, but he had that core that was very humane. I mean, he was really unusual.
I couldn't agree with you more, Robert. I mean, and especially for people who grew up around the time that I did, Robin Williams was a real magical and inspirational figure who, you know, changed our lives through film and had that constant childlike appreciation and sense of wonder for the world. It was very tough when I heard about it.
Right, and also for me as an actor, respect for him goes, bounds. We really look to him. That energy is, incredible. And we all sort of, as actors, hope to, I know I always hope to reach that level of energy and commitment to the craft that he had.
I think he was a really gifted actor, because he played parts that was in such contradistinction to the way he presents himself in life to other people. For example, in Insomnia, he played a serial killer. In One Hour Photo, he played this fanatic.
Yeah, that was a brilliant role. That was unbelievable.
And he really gave it substance, And to do that, there's much more to him. Very complex, intelligent person who had a lot going for him. And that's why I'm perplexed about that. I just don't... the drug addiction and family problems, lots of people have that. But lots of people also don't have his, I guess you'd call it, like, a certain love of life.
Yeah, that's true.
And
that's it's difficult to even conceptualize when someone's pain is so great that they prefer to just check out. I mean, that for me, I'll always struggle to see that. And I just wonder, what about you, Robert? I mean, what are your escape mechanisms? How have you dealt with pain and boredom?
Well, I would argue about escape mechanisms as far as I'm concerned, because I tolerate pain. I don't look to distract myself from it, because that's a moral cop-out. That's a moral cop-out. I may want to get some distance from the pain to, come back and be able to deal with it. But, the anxiety, underlying the, what Mr. DeMille called manic behavior is anxiety, a lot of anxiety-driven behavior. But
so you embrace it head-on. Is that what you're saying, Robert?
Well, it's not like I'm not driven back. It's not like I'm getting knocked down, right? Like, I don't get knocked down. But I realize that at some point it's going to have to be dealt with. So I'm able to tolerate it and suffer with it, because everybody suffers.
Sure.
Yeah. I can really respect that. I feel like we can learn a lot from that. I know Armand would talk about the one time he went to the dentist, and he mentioned that he asked them to pull out his tooth with no painkiller, because he wanted to feel everything that he was feeling. And I know it's a bit of an extreme moment. The dentist said, "Well, no, I can't do that. We don't do that. We don't do this without anesthetics." And he said, "Well, I don't understand. I'm going to go to a dentist that'll allow me to do that and allow me to feel this."
Well, that's interesting that you brought that up, because Mr. Armand is another example of, like Robin Williams. I'm not equating him with Robin Williams in the sense I described. But, I've heard people call in and talk about, Mr. DeMille in very, warm and glowing terms. But yet the interesting thing is, he was suffering from emphysema and still smoked.
Oh, no, he had quit smoking many years back.
He did.
Yeah, he
did.
He did.
Yeah. Oh, okay, he did.
It was a result of it, but he quit many years back. Well, Robert, actually, we're reaching the break, but thank you so much for calling in. And we appreciate, what you've said today. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye. 212-757-5555. We're going to take a short break, and we'll be taking your calls when we get back. Mm-hmm.
you can't run away from your sin. 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 Must have done.
You must have done
something wrong.
Something wrong.
Said you must have done.
You must have done.
Oh, something wrong.
Something wrong. Why you can't find the place where you belong?
Step up, step up, step up, step up.
Running away.
Step up, step up, step up. Every man thinketh his burden is the heaviest. Every man thinketh his burden is the heaviest.
Heaviest.
But still me.
Who feels it knows it, Lord? Who feels it knows it, Lord? Who feels it knows it, Lord?
The sounds of Bob Marley and the Wailers with Running Away here on 99.5 FM WBAI. You're tuned into The Positive Mind. I'm Ben Starr here with Julian Joiello. And we just want to remind you real quick to help support the station with the move to Brooklyn. Go to WBAI.org and click on the BAI Buddy icon. We need to just let you know, because BAI is listener-supported radio, we take no corporate sponsorship or underwriting. And it is the listeners that help us continue to bring you programming like The Positive Mind. We got another caller on the line, Corbin. Corbin, how do you deal with escapism and pain?
I called in to give you guys like a younger perspective on it, because I've listened to the show for a long time now, and I even spoke to Armand once, like I was in his office. And I heard you guys talking about this topic, and I noticed that it was only some older people speaking up. So as a younger person, my views on escapism are that it's kind of hard to ignore in the sense of young culture and people growing up in this generation. Like, I heard the last caller say that the best thing to do is just to bulk up and face it and so on and so forth. But I think that's something that's sort of faded out from, like, sorry, this is my first time calling. I've never really done this before.
No, it's okay. I mean, I agree with what you're saying, especially in terms of today's world and the generation we live in. We're so surrounded and bombarded by technology on
it's
all
kind
sides.
It's hard to just take a break in any sort of way that isn't totally engaged in something else.
Right. Yeah. And it's also interesting. I mean, just like, even if you didn't plan on being distracted, I mean, I remember reading that on a normal trek to work every day, somebody in New York City, if they take the subway to a walk to their work, like if you were coming to our Midtown office, you know, you would see over 7,000 advertisements. And just that amount of, I know I've sat on the subway and read every single advertisement in my car to distract myself. And it just happens because our minds go there.
Corbin, do you work in an office?
No, I don't. I'm a waiter, actually. I'm also a student.
Okay. I mean, and I'm assuming that you probably have some kind of smartphone.
Yeah.
I mean, it's kind of what you're talking about, and maybe in the job where you work, if you work in a sports bar or other kind of restaurant like that, there's probably TV screens. To me, the big distraction that we face is just being surrounded by screens all day, whether it's a computer screen, TV screen, or a phone screen. But I do appreciate your call and your perspective, and I thank you for that.
All right.
Yeah, thanks for calling in, Corbin.
No problem. You guys do a great job.
Thanks so much. So, yeah, we're talking again about distraction, escapism, and strategies that we use to get through life and to get through. And it can take many forms. I mean, the ones that are probably most stereotypically associated with that would be drug and alcohol abuse. And Armand once said that drugs and alcohol are what we use to shut off the noise in our head. Sometimes the noise in our head can become unbearable because we're playing back painful memories or playing back regrets or thoughts that we might have. And it becomes so overwhelming that, you know, some of us, you know, myself included in the past, have turned to substances to shut that pain off. And that's yet another strategy that we might use. The pain, whether that pain comes from, usually it's, for me anyway, it's some kind of loss. Whether that's the loss of a love relationship or the loss of a loved one in your life, loss is often at the center of pain that I'm experiencing. So once again, the number to call here is 212-757-5555. We're taking your calls, and we want to hear about the pain that you've tried to escape and how you've gone about it. Was it a self-destructive method of escape, or was it something a little more positive? Like, did you become a workaholic, working a lot to avoid something in your personal life? Or did you become a gym rat and just go to the gym constantly, nonstop, and get in better shape to feel better physically because you needed to feel better mentally or emotionally as well? Let us know. Let us know what your strategies have been and how you've dealt with things. We have another caller on the line. Elsia, how are you?
Hi there. I'm really good. How are you?
Good. Thanks for calling in.
Mm-hmm. I was listening to your program when you first came on, and you mentioned the word escapism, and then you were talking about Robin Williams, and I was thinking about my own experience, and I was listening to a lot of very negative things, and I was thinking about how escapism kind of saved me. And I think it saves a lot of kids and people that can master how to keep oneself busy when everything is so awful and tumbling on top of them. I learned very young to keep myself busy with drawing, with painting, with reading, with singing into a hairbrush. I am an artist, okay, and I know you mentioned that artistic personality, and I do. You know, I use escapism to create and, you know, move in imaginative places and such. But as a child, I learned very young to keep myself busy. And that escapism, it was because of, you know, social challenges in school, things that a lot of kids face, you know, being pushed out of a group or not being asked to do something or not having friends that call you. And, you know, rather than sitting in your room and saying, oh, my God, nobody wants to be my friend, I guess nobody taught me. I just learned how to be pretty self-sufficient. And I've taught my kids that. And I also work with kids in schools, and I'm a theater artist and stuff. And I teach them a pathway to happiness is being able to keep yourself busy with things that you enjoy doing. And, yeah, that is escapism. But sometimes we really need it to survive because you
absolutely
just can't stay in the suck hole, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. I really think that what you're saying makes a lot of sense, and we don't think it's either positive or negative. We're excited to hear both sides of this. We just wanted to introduce this idea, and coming from another actor, a theater artist, as you're saying, it's really you know, exciting to hear that it does, you know, as an artist, it does represent a really interesting way to create. I know that as a musician and an actor, a lot of, you know, my grief or my pain, it's very exciting for me when I feel this pain, although it's, you know, painful. I'm able to funnel this sort of into creative endeavor and write the most exciting stuff that I can, or create stuff that I really, really resonates with me. And I know I found that my dad had also taught me that growing up too. So I really appreciate that, Elsa.
Mm-hmm.
Elsia,
mm-hmm.
Sorry. And it's exciting hearing that other side too. And we didn't mean to come off as it in being an entirely negative concept.
Oh, no.
We just wanted to introduce it. And often people look at it as an entirely negative concept, but it's exciting to see both sides for sure.
Could I add to what you just said?
What was that?
Could I add something to what you just said?
Sure. Yeah.
We have time. You know, in as far as writing music and doing all of that, that's interesting that your route or your journey is the escapism, because when I create, I feel like I have to emote, and I don't escape what I'm emoting about, but it's the high after.
Oh, yeah,
the
no.
Manic high. That's the escapism of it, because then it shoots you up and says, wow, yeah, I did it.
Right, and that's that fantastic that fantastic high moment that you get in that feeling of creativity. Well, thank you so much for sharing and calling in, and we appreciate that. And thanks for listening.
Thank you for your program.
Absolutely. Take care.
Bye-bye.
212-757-5555. Once again, we're just discussing escapism, whether or not you've used it or what you've used it to avoid, whether it's a boredom or a pain that you're feeling, a lingering feeling. And like Elsie said, it's not always a negative thing. I mean, it can be very positive. It can be, you know, we can dive into the realm of fantasy as a way to find a source of creativity. And we can go the other way as well. We can go into a way of suppressing a pain and avoiding it through many, many strategies. I know for me personally, when I've experienced the pain of a breakup, the thing I want to do the most is spend time with friends and even new friends and just be around people constantly, because it keeps the loneliness out. And even if I'm not necessarily with my friends, I can keep the loneliness out by just surrounding myself with people, and it allows me to escape that depth of loneliness and heartache that is so prevalent. Right after we lose a love relationship, it's a difficult time. So, you know, there are many strategies and methods to escape, and we've covered many of them here today. And I want to thank all of our listeners who have called in, and those of you who continue to email us at positivemind@wbai.org. We do appreciate your feedback, and again, we are going to try to respond to each one of you as soon as we can.
Absolutely. And also, we are trying to keep our Twitter presence more in line. So if you can, me and Ben both have Twitter. If you look up our names, which are on the website, thepositivemind.com, you can find us online too, and send us those emails or call us at the office. If you have any comments, questions about this program and how it's transitioning, what's going on here, we'd love to hear from you. We really appreciate the listeners and the callers. You really bring us forward and through all this, and it's exciting.
Yeah, and as a listener of the show for many years, I mean, for me, the best part was always hearing the audience participation. And, you know, the people who call into this show have always been full of just great stories and insights. And to me, it makes the show a richer thing to hear from all of you. And so that's why we encourage you to participate and call in. And it is great to hear from you all. So thanks again for those of you who are calling in. We're getting some more calls right now. Just a moment right now. We have Adam on the line. Hi, Adam. Adam, are you there?
Hi.
Hi there, Adam. How's it going today?
Fair.
Fair?
I wanted to offer my condolences. I've just tuned in for the first time in some time, and so it's somewhat shocking and sorrowful to learn of Armand's passing.
Yeah.
With regard to escapism or distraction, I suppose distraction is one form of escapism. I think it's sort of the human condition. I mean, I think Freud suggests that in Civilization and Its Discontents, civilization offers us plenty of escape from our original nature. I think Pascal talked about distraction.
What about you, Adam?
Well, I have discovered that while we frequently talk about escapism in sort of a big way, a macro way of escaping from our problems, that there's all kinds of micro management of our pain and dissatisfactions with our lives. And it can be the smallest thing of doing one thing instead of another, in your home of not cooking your meal when you're hungry and going and doing something else. I do, however, want to suggest two things. Number one, with respect to Robin Williams, that there's a dialectical, that is a two-sided, contradictory, Janus-like aspect to everything we do. There's someone on the web named Stefan Molyneux who did a long piece on Williams's passing and pointed out that he was raised in a very lonely home environment where he was left on his own.
Yeah, we discussed that last year after he passed. He was left in a playing alone with thousands of toy soldiers
and other things, and was only able to, I think, access his caregiver's attention, I think his mother, when he did these performances. And so this drive to inhabit some other character than his own history certainly is visible in his career. And while there was an audience to receive this performance, it did mean that he was escaping from these very early childhood issues at the same time. Then, with respect to drug abuse, and my brother was an alcoholic and probably died from alcoholism, that there is another aspect than pure escapism, because at least in alcoholism, I think there are parts of or periods of use of alcohol where you're actually brought back face to face with the things that you think you're trying to escape from with that drug in particular, and where it's either a bad way of doing it or being disadvantaged.
Well, what in particular would you think that alcoholism brings you face to face with?
I think it brings you back to your loneliness, at least in certain phases of alcohol use. But it doesn't give you the tools then to deal with that loneliness or pain. But I think this may be true of some other drug use, that it brings you back or puts you in the somewhat dependent, disempowered state from which you're trying to flee, and so it has this double-edged aspect.
And that's essentially what it's all about, is the fleeing, as you mentioned, Adam, is
right. But I'm denying that. I think it's one way that you return to face it, but are disadvantaged by the tool that you use. If you go into a total, for instance, alcoholic binge and lose consciousness, well, then you've lost consciousness. Fine. But there are points in drug use and drug abuse, I should say, that bring you back face to face with what you're trying to flee from.
Sure. And Adam, we do have five minutes left.
Right.
We want to be able to get to another
caller.
Thanks
very much for raising this question, and the best to you all.
Thanks, Adam, for your participation and your insight. We really appreciate it.
Thank you, Adam.
Be well.
Talk to you soon. Bye bye.
Yeah, it's as Adam says. I mean, it's a way to face certain things, but I don't think that anyone has necessarily dealt with or gotten over problems by diving into drugs or alcohol.
But, you know, it's possible. It's, you know, an interesting idea to bring up. Call in. We have a couple of minutes left here on the program, The Positive Mind, here. 212-757-5555. 212-757-5555. We've got this line open. Call in. We'll try to get you on for this last couple of minutes. Again, we're on Tuesdays and Wednesdays at 1 p.m. So we'll continue on that schedule So keep tuning in, and you can also listen to us at WBAI.org or on thepositivemind.com in our archives.
Yeah, and we'd love to hear from well, there goes another phone call. I was going to say we'd love to hear from another woman, because we've heard from four men and one woman today, and we always like to hear from everybody. So we have another caller calling in. We do appreciate that. Again, we're discussing escapism and how we've dealt with and strategies to cope with either pain or boredom or any kind of lingering discomfort or feelings.
Yeah, and also to those callers who tried to get through, Mitzi, Carmelo, Charlie, Catherine, I tried calling you back, and we couldn't get through, so make sure you call in tomorrow. We'll be taking calls again. We'd love to hear from you. And right now we have on the line Mark. Mark, are you there?
Yes.
Hi, Mark. Are you on speakerphone? Mark? Oh, I think we lost him.
Stop this right here, folks.
Mark, are you on speakerphone right now?
I think we've lost Mark. We're going to try to get one more call. Thank you for calling, Mark, if you're there. But we're going to try to get one more call since we can't hear you at the moment. Yes, just keep calling in, 212-757-5555.
And don't forget, every show that we do is available on thepositivemind.com. The archives go way back. You can also subscribe to the podcast on the iTunes store. It's a free podcast. All you have to do is go to the iTunes store and search for The Positive Mind within the podcast section, and you can subscribe to the podcast. It'll download automatically onto your computer, and you'll be able to hear new episodes as they're released. So we have time for one more caller here right now. Real quick, we just want to say hello to Lindsay. Lindsay, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Hi, Lindsay. How's it going today?
Pretty good. Sorry to hear about Armand. Long-time listener. Kind of sad I never got a chance to talk to him. But I thought it was interesting that you guys were talking about escape.
Yeah. How have you escaped, and what have you tried to escape from?
Well, starting early on, I lost my father. Really early on, like age two, so I've lived without a parent for a long time. But for years, I've actually been smoking pot, which sounds crazy because I'm one of the most productive potheads you'd ever meet. I'm now 30 years old, and I run a farm.
You know, it doesn't sound that crazy to me, Lindsay, because I have known some very, very productive potheads, as you say.
Yeah, exactly. But I've been using it for years, but it's always had a positive outcome for me, because for me, I've had a lot of anxiety. So, like, if I'm having a hypertension moment where I can hyper-focus on one thing, I'll have a little puff, and then I can kind of relax, think about it, step outside myself for a moment, you know, kind of gather my thoughts, recalculate, and then I'm usually ready to come at a problem, which is funny that it would take a little hit of marijuana to do that, but it's funny.
Yeah, well, you know, Armand always used to say, everyone needs a plus for their minus. And
exactly.
That quote really resonated with me. And, you know, in your situation, it happens to be this. And I think it works in a lot of other ways, too, whether it's pot or whether it's a distraction or whether it's, you know, creating some kind of art or running exercise. If it's that plus that you need because you're in that minus spot, you're in that depressed mood and you need to be lifted out of it. That might be what it is, and vice versa. And I think that really is, you know, an interesting way to look at everything. And I actually thank you so much for calling. We're actually reaching the end of our program today. But Lindsay, thank you so much for calling and being our last caller today and listening to the program.
Guys. Heads up to all those productive potheads out there.
Yeah,
have a good one, guys.
Lindsay's got your back.
Thanks, Lindsay.
Thank
Bye-bye.
You, Lindsay. And stay tuned. Tomorrow, Wednesday at 1 p.m., we'll be on The Positive Mind here on WBAI 99.5 FM. This has been Julian Joiello and Ben Starr with The Positive Mind. Check out our archives on thepositivemind.com and send us an email at positivemind@wbai.org. Stay tuned.